Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In the gun is Hurts. Sanders to his right. On first down. Give goes to Sanders. Tries to get outside. Breaks a tackle. 50, 40, 35, 30. You asked for it, you got it.
You asked for it, you got it. The running game that cannot be stopped. Good morning, everybody. It is a breezy fall Saturday morning in the Delaware Valley. Along with Ray Dinger, I'm Glenn Mack now. We got a lot to cover today, by the way. Really fun guest for Tell Us Your Story. Ray, Flyers great Mark Howe. Hall of Famer Mark Howe.
Yep. Yeah, he was... Great player and a very good interview. And I think his father played a little bit, too. Well, we might get into that.
I found a great clip of the two of them on the ice together that we will play. As that starts at noon. We have a great – we do our Shibe Sports This Week in Philadelphia Sports History. And, Ray, one of my all-time favorite moments, not long after I moved to Philadelphia, The first of the two Bounty Bowls, which I didn't know. You ended up having a little bit of a role in there.
Yeah, I wound up kind of in the middle of it, as I often did back in
those days. So we're going to play that, and I want to start by opening up the show talking about the Eagles' offensive line and the running game. That was Miles Sanders ripping off a run last week. One of his better plays, he did fumble once, almost twice. He did run out of bounds with 4.5 minutes to go, but he also had 91 yards rushing as all of the Eagles were effective in that. By the way, two giveaways today. We have our Shibe Sports $50 gift card to Shibe Sports, where there is a story in every stitch. Visit them in Center City at ShibeSports.com. We'll give that one of those out to one of our two best callers. And, Ray, as you know, I am in the Play Anything Goes. We opened last night at the Players Club of Swarthmore. Great crowd, really fun show, really enjoyed it. I felt really terrific about it. We're going to give two tickets to somebody to come and see the Players Club of Swarthmore production of Anything Goes now between now and December 11th. Tickets available at PCStheater.org. PCStheater.org. All right. Ray, suddenly things are going the Eagles' way.
Mm-hmm.
They have won 3 out of 4.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 139 points in four games. 35 points a game.
That is correct.
New offense. Run-oriented. It's working. Defense coming around.
Who knew?
For those who just joined this show, Ray's been mounting that trope for decades.
I've only been saying, you know, you can run the ball. I mean, you can actually. It's in the rules. Look it up. I'll get you the rule book. It's not a break against the rules to hand the ball off to a running back. You can still do it. Somebody will call you a dinosaur, but guess what? Who cares if you're winning?
Let us harken back. Ray's backyard. Southwest Philadelphia. 9-year-old Ray discussing offense with his friends. Hey, Dinger, let's throw the ball. No. Run the ball. That's what we do. I want that cut to a movie scene. There you go. With you in that football uniform that you wore for Halloween. Anyway, the defense is coming around. Ray, the Cowboys lost on Thanksgiving Day. That was a thing of beauty.
It certainly was.
It was so much fun. And the rest of the schedule is a cream puff. Ray, it's a Thanksgiving miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So
therein lies the danger.
That it's too good to be seen? That the Great Pumpkin is going to go away?
Too easy. Yeah, too easy. I can't tell you how many times
I don't
this week.
About that,
yeah. You don't?
No. Well, I guess it depends on what people's expectations are.
Well, have you been listening to this station this week?
Not a lot.
It's oh, we're going to run the table.
No.
We're not going to lose another game.
Who are you? What are you listening to?
I'm listening to our very
station.
I'm listening to our very station. I'm listening to the callers.
Well, I love the callers, but I don't always agree with the callers.
But I'm telling you.
Their job is to get overly excited.
Yes.
That's their job.
That's their job.
All
right. But then what happens when the players start to hear that and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we are. We are all that. We are going to win every game. We are going to go to the playoffs. I mean, what?
I just need him to win tomorrow. That's all I need.
Okay.
And then we'll deal with next week. I hear what you're saying. And listen, you and I have been doing this long enough. And again, I love and respect the callers. But the callers, a fan's job is to get overly excited, overly upset, overly dramatic.
Correct.
I don't think that Jason Kelce sitting around saying like, well, Neil from the Northeast says we're going to run the table. Guess I don't have to go out and do the extra reps.
Well, you know Mary Kate from Delco believes that they're going to run the table.
She was great. That woman had her moment, and she made the most of it.
Oh, boy, did she ever. Did she ever. But here's the thing. Everything we say, and we're sort of half tongue-in-cheek here when we say it, but I can assure you that the message from Nick Sirianni to the players this week has been, don't listen to it. Don't listen to
it. As John Chaney would say, don't smell yourself.
Yeah, don't buy into it. Look, we're playing really good. You look at the tape, you can see that. But don't take anything for granted. And that's why I actually think that, you know, that sorry ending to last week's game against the Saints could work in their favor. You know, I mean, they thought they had that game in the bag after three quarters, and they did. And in the fourth quarter, they just really took their foot off the gas. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden, you're looking up at the scoreboard and saying, oh, geez, you know, we need to get a first down here. You know, you don't want to do that. And I think Sirianni seems to me to be a pretty smart guy, and I'd be willing to bet you that he's sort of hammered home the theme of, you know, we let down a little bit in the fourth quarter last week because we thought it was going to be easy, and we almost wound up hurting ourselves. So, you know, that there's a lesson to be learned there. You got to play every game one at a time, and you got to play for 60 minutes. This is the National Football League, after all.
All right, how many wins do they have?
Right now, five.
How many losses do they have?
They have six.
Well, okay. Then I don't think they should be sniffing themselves at all. They're basically a
they
team
shouldn't be.
That has... Well, okay. And I'm not in the locker room. I don't know, but I suspect and hope that the veterans on this team of Jordans and Jalens are letting them know, boys, those of us who have been to the Super Bowl know we're a long way, so let's all calm down. But, Ray, I want to focus on... Really, the heroes of the season, and this is where I love having your expertise, because if this team has any chance, and by the way, when I say any chance, to me, it's like finish 9-8 and make the playoffs, okay? I'm not running any tables. I'm not winning any divisions today. I'm not looking at first-round playoff matches. I'm saying at this point, you know what? This team could shock me by having a winning record, and I would be delighted if they do. If they finish 9-8, they're odds on going to make the playoffs. Great. Probably get blown out in the first round. I'll live with it. The heroes to me are, from left to right, Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelce, Jack Driscoll, Lane Johnson. One of the things, and this is where I want you to explain something, okay? They are primarily a zone-blocking scheme behind one of the best lines in football.
Mm-hmm.
What's a zone-blocking scheme?
You block a zone as opposed to a man.
Okay. So let's go over each of these guys one by one. Jordan Mailata. I want your 30-second breakdown of each of the five.
Okay. Jordan Mailata just overpowering in size, overpowering in strength. And when he fires off the ball, he moves whatever's in front of him. Simple as that. I mean, it's just raw power on raw power. His technique has improved year by year. Actually kind of improves week by week, actually. But he's to the point now where, I mean, he's one of the better left tackles in football. I mean, that's saying a lot when you consider where he comes from. And, you know, there's no issue about competition at left tackle anymore. That's his job for as long as he can hold it.
And by the way, has a little bit of a mean streak to him, which I like. Somebody took a cheap shot at his quarterback last week. He was not having it.
No, he warned the guy once.
Yeah.
He warned him once on the play on the little shove on the sideline, and he got in his face and wagged his finger at him, said, don't do that again. And then a couple plays later, you know, they're rolling around on the ground about it. And
yep.
that's and he was asked about it this week. He was brought into the media room, and he talked about it this week. And he said, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm looking out for my guys, mm-hmm. you know. And listen, when you're 6 feet eight and 365 pounds, you can look out for a lot of guys. Even in the NFL, that's big.
That's big. Landon Dickerson, the rookie out of Alabama.
Yeah. Getting better by the week. He was thrown into a tough situation at the beginning of the year. He got hurt at the very, very end of the college football season. Real bad knee injury, yet another one. He's had too many of those. Spent the whole offseason. The Eagles drafted him. He was still recovering from the injury. He goes through a long rehab. Really had no preseason to speak of. Didn't really get out on the practice field to start working until the first week of the regular season. And all of a sudden, Brandon Brooks goes down and Seumalo goes down, and now they got to put him right immediately into the lineup with very little preparation. And for the first couple weeks, he struggled, especially in pass protection. But his run blocking was good right from the beginning because he's so big. I mean, he's not quite as big as Maialata, but he's pretty close.
Country big, as they say.
Yeah, and he is. He's 330 pounds himself. So the run blocking thing he picked up pretty quickly. Pass protection, he's gotten better week by week. And now, you know, he's playing really good. And the left side of that line with those two guys side by side, I mean, if you want some yards, you can run behind them.
Yeah, and that's your future too. The ageless one at center, Jason Kelce.
Playing great. Playing absolutely great.
Did you see the
great.
Play last week where he just leveled two different guys on the one play?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing to me that a guy at his age who has played as much football as he's played still has retained so much of his athleticism that he's still able to do the things that he did early in his career in terms of being able to get outside and get to the second level and block on the edge and block downfield. I mean, he is right now, as a 12-year veteran, making plays that second and third-year players can't make. I mean, it's amazing how good he still is doing the things that make him special. And obviously, in terms of just his experience and his football IQ at the line of scrimmage, what he sees, what he does at the line of scrimmage, how he adjusts the protections, how he picks up where the stunt is, who's going to loop, who's going to jump. I mean, all that stuff that you see him pointing out before the ball is snapped has been so helpful when you have so many young guys there. I mean, Maialata is still a baby. Dickerson's a rookie. Driscoll is a second-year player. I mean, these are all young guys mm-hmm. that he's playing with, and so he's up there. He's up there telling them exactly what to do before every snap. I mean, that's, and then when the ball's snapped, he's the best center in football. So, I mean, right now,
all right, we're not done.
Well, no, I was just going to put this out as a coda. Right now, he might be the most indispensable guy on the team.
Yeah, I hear that. I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't know how you'd go about replacing him.
Yep. The anonymous one, Jack Driscoll,
who, as you know, I've liked him.
Yeah, you did. You're a big fan.
Right from the beginning. I mean, I liked him on draft day. I mean, I saw him play in college. The thing I really liked about him was he seemed like a really smart player. He never missed an assignment. There was never a mental error on his part. He never missed a switch. He never missed a loop. I mean, a lot of times young guys come into the NFL and teams will, when they run a stunt inside, like when one guy pushes down and another guy loops around, very often young linemen won't see it. You know, they'll miss it because they don't see it. It's not they can't block them. They can, but you got to see them to block them, and that's the problem. Driscoll never had that problem. I mean, right from the beginning, you could see that once the ball was snapped and there was all kinds of movement in front of him, he always knew where to go. He always knew where to be. The one question I had with him last year was, okay, are you going to play him a tackle or guard? You probably should take one or the other. He started a tackle. They've moved him to guard. He's made the adjustment just fine. It looks to me like he's gotten bigger and stronger. I thought last year he needed to do that. It looks like he has. And right now nobody talks about him. Everybody talks about the other guys on the line. He's sort of the forgotten guy, but shouldn't be because he has really stepped up his game, and it looks to me like he could be the long-term answer there.
All right, and then finally, the guy who's come back this year and come back so well from personal difficulties, Lane Johnson.
Playing outstanding football. He really is. And last week he was really, really good. I mean, he was going up against. I mean, he's going up against Cam Jordan, who's one of the best defensive ends in football and has been for a long time. And he locked him up. I mean, look at Cam Jordan's stat line. I mean, it wasn't much. And you never heard his name called. And you see all the plays that are made out there that Hurts was making. Look at what Johnson's doing on the play. I mean, he is so rock solid right now. I mean, he's played well since he's come back, but I thought last week he played particularly well. And if he can keep playing like that, man, you know, when he's on his game, he's as good a right tackle as there is in football. And last week he was definitely on his game.
Well, Ray, that was a great breakdown. And listen, we spent a lot of time, understandably, talking about Jalen Hurts and talking about Big Play Slay and talking about other guys and the coach and the defensive coordinator. But these guys, to me, these guys are the backbone of the team. And if the team is going, whatever success the team is going to have, to me, is based on those five guys.
They have saved the season.
Yep.
Those guys have saved the season.
All right. One other issue I want to get to in the first segment here, which is related to the Giants tomorrow, which is, they changed offensive coordinators midstream. They fired Jason Garrett. We don't get to beat Jason Garrett anymore. They brought in Freddie Kitchens, former coach of the Browns. Is it going to be helpful? I mean, they still got Daniel
Giants
Jones as
Eagles.
Quarterback.
not surprised. I mean, the way the offense was going under Garrett, there was going to be a change. And couple things happened in the last couple weeks that were, if you read the New York papers, you kind of read between the lines, that Joe Judge sort of pointed the finger at Garrett. Didn't name him by name, but sort of said, you know, we got to try and put some of these guys in a better position, give them a better chance to succeed. And Jason Garrett kind of said, well, you know, I can only do what I'm given to work with, you know, and, you know, look at my offensive line. So Judge is kind of looking at Garrett.
It's not
Garrett,
about me; it's about them.
Garrett's kind of looking at the front office,
yeah.
And I'm saying, well, this is not going in a good direction. Now, I didn't know that it was going to happen right now, but the Monday night game in Tampa, they just looked so inept offensively. I mean, they ran a couple plays that were just almost bizarre in the design of them. Why you ran them against that particular defense? It was just. I, when the game was over, I thought, you know what, it wouldn't shock me if there's a change. And sure enough, within 24 hours, there was. Now, the question is, how does that impact the game tomorrow? Freddie Kitchens comes in, and I would expect that what you're going to get is, look, he's only had a short week at that, plus with Thanksgiving thrown in the middle. He doesn't have time to rewrite the whole playbook. But every time I've seen one of these in-season changes, the new guy comes in and puts in three or four trick plays just to let people know that there's been a change, you know. So, you know, I think what you're going to see is you might see a flea flicker in there. You might see like a double reverse maybe. You might see maybe like a wildcat formation, something like that. I mean, it's not going to be a totally different offense because you can't build a totally different offense in that period of time. But I guarantee you there's going to be like, you know, four to a
Saquon
half.
Saquon Barkley taking the lateral, tossing it off to Evan Engram, who's going to throw deep to Daniel Jones. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't know if he's going to be that quite that elaborate or exotic.
That's
but I think
my,
what,
that's my trick
I,
play.
Well, I could see a pitch to Saquon Barkley where he sweeps wide right and then he pulls up and throws a ball down the field.
Okay,
you know, just sort of an option play. I mean, I could see that. I would expect to see three or four sort of plucked out of the blue kinds of plays, and if you're the Eagles and you're the defense and you're Jonathan Gannon, you have to be aware of that.
Good point. Very good point. Let's start the phones. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. David in North Philly starts us off. Hello, David.
Happy holidays, guys.
And you as well. Best to you and your family.
Definitely. I think it was Howie Roseman that said they want to be a quarterback factory. This team is an offensive line, a running back, and a tight end factory. They get them in the lower rounds. They get them undrafted. They get the guys. They get them in there. They play, and they play well. And because of the way he's positioned the team, over Rob Ellis, I think his quote is, this is the quicker fixer-upper league. This team is going to – they're not going to be in contention for a Super Bowl, but they're going to be very prominent over the next two seasons. even with all their deficiencies. And I did not see that coming. I thought this year was going to be a lot of stumbling, but the way the calendar played out, it exactly played out how we saw at the beginning. You're going to be in contention around this time of year because you have all the division games at the end. And over the last 3 weeks, look at all the teams. Who's good in this league? I mean, New England seems to be the most consistent, but I saw the Bills lose.
Well, I don't think anybody's great. I think there's a lot of good teams. I don't think anybody's great. I don't think they're – Ray, do you agree there's not one at this point now, right, at the end of November?
No.
There's no one team that you say, like, oh, man, that's the team to beat.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with that.
There's no juggernaut. And that's what the NFL wants. That's what all about parity is. And
sure.
This being the Philadelphia for a long time, I already know what's going to happen. They're going to win 4 games comfortably over this last stretch just to make that Dallas game interesting, and who knows how it plays out. And there will be Dallas lost to Las Vegas, and they're going to stumble in there just to keep it interesting and keep us tuned in for 17 weeks.
I hope so. Listen, Dallas plays the Saints next, and I mean, we agree the Saints are cooked, right? That's a team where injuries have stolen their year, so I got to give Dallas the win there.
Dallas has, I think their next 3 are on the road.
Well, that's fine, but I still think they can beat the Saints wherever they play.
Well, I know, but I'm taking, if you're looking down the road, they're struggling right now. They're struggling on both sides of the ball, and they got to play 3 straight road games.
So, David, you are saying that when we get to what is now week 18, Eagles-Dallas, that game will have some meaning.
Yeah, that's just the way, I mean, we saw it coming, really. I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was like, it's going to be a rough schedule at the beginning. And because of how the schedule lays out with the division games, you literally can't be out of it. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, so, maybe. I didn't think they would be this good this fast. Go ahead.
I got something about Howie and these rumors with these quarterbacks. Let me paint a scenario where Jalen Hurts plays good. Mm-hmm. And we win 4 or 5 games, whatever. They get into the playoffs, and he's serviceable. His trade value at that point, if they don't expose him, but he has no flaws, could he be traded to Seattle with one of the first rounds and bring back Russell Wilson?
No, that's I don't know if he could, but I wouldn't. Thank you, David. I don't understand the Russell Wilson talk, Ray. I don't understand the Aaron Rodgers talk.
Right.
You have a young quarterback in his first contract, which gives you money to spend elsewhere,
right,
which you need. Why would I take all of that and trade it for, well Wilson's what, 32?
32, yeah, I think he's 32 or
Rodgers is 37, 38, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Okay, why would I do that?
I would only do that.
No, I would only do that if I'm a great quarterback away from winning, and I'm not. I'll build with this young quarterback for now. If he doesn't look good this year, next year, and I feel I got to draft somebody, move somewhere else, I will. But for now, he's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with him, but for now, he's the best option I got.
Well, you're winning with him. When you talk about the contract, I mean, he's got 2 years. If my math is correct, he's got 2 years left with $3.6 million. That's a pretty nice number to have your starting quarterback at. And that's where they are with this guy. So that's certainly an advantage. And, right now, why do you want to tamper with it? I mean, right now you finally got your season on track, and this guy's a big reason why you're winning these games. Why are you looking around to make a move?
I'm not either. All right, Ray Dinger, Glenn Macnow, 215-592-9494.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly! Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.